comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi folks, welcome to the show. Whoever you are, wherever you happen to be, all around this beautiful place we call Earth, thank you for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. I'm delighted to be here. I'm delighted you are here. And I think we're going to have a good time tonight. Hope you've had a happy Thanksgiving if you are residing in the United States. The United States celebrates a holiday called Thanksgiving, and that's today. So hope it has been a great, happy day for you. Some of you got today off from work, and some of you have tomorrow off from work. A lot of big shopping will start taking place at midnight tonight. Lots of stores open up at midnight tonight for what they call Black Friday shopping. So a bunch of you are going to be out there spending money or credit or something. And but it's a big deal, and I hope you have had a great time. Got to be with your family and friends and stuff like that. We are tonight going to be identifying once again something NASA appears to be up to. And if you've been listening to this show for a number of years, you've heard me nail them in advance several times where I've told you, okay, watch this, watch this, watch this. When you, if you see them do this, the next thing that will happen will be this. And it's not because I'm psychic or because I can, you know, like read the future, nothing like that. It's simply if you have a ping pong ball on a table and the table tilts, then the ping pong ball will roll off the table, right? And so all I'm doing is saying, if the table tilts, watch this happen. And it's just taking what's set up, you know, identifying what's been set up, and then saying, okay, if this trigger event happens, you can expect this next thing to happen over here. That's all it is. And I've gotten email from people, though, who, when I would tell them, watch out for this, they would write to me and say, you're nuts. And then, you know, it would happen. And then they write back. They send me an email back. Oh, well, by golly, you were right. And then they get to where, and this is where you don't need to get. They get to where, if I say watch out for this, they assume that means it will happen. And it doesn't mean that. Okay, you don't want to get to that point. I'm not a prophet. You don't want to get to that point. But just watch out and be aware. So we're going to look at some stuff that NASA appears to be up to tonight. And I think we are going to see them do it, but I'm going to show you some things that are pretty surprising, and we're going to talk about some things that are pretty surprising from Mars and from the Curiosity rover, great big rover they sent up there. So it's roving around and taking pictures and scooping dirt. All right, we're going to step away for a break, and we'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and Our topic this evening on this holiday evening here in the United States, our topic is NASA is beginning to use an old Viking script. And I'll fully explain that, but they're setting up, they're preparing to use an old Viking script for what's going on right now. All right, so you're aware that on Mars, NASA has a new rover. They've got one that's been up there now for 11 years called Opportunity. It was supposed to last for 90 days, and it's been working for 11 years and still going and doing great work. But they've got a new rover up there called Curiosity. It landed a few months ago, and it's about the size of a Humvee. It physically that size. It's just about that size. It's loaded with science equipment, all kinds of science equipment. And it's driving around up there. It landed in a place called Gale Crater, and we're going to take a look at Gale Crater kind of in detail tonight a little bit. Those who are watching are seeing a picture of Gale Crater up over my shoulder there. And there's a yellow circle, and that is the area that was the target area for landing the Curiosity rover, and it landed in its target area. That's a big crater. It's a really big crater, and those mountains there in the middle of the crater are big. They're really tall, and so what we're looking at is a picture from space. Actually, this is a picture taken by the Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter from space, and it's pretty interesting because, not because there's any really interesting features that you can see in this picture, but because here we go with NASA once again giving us red filtered photographs. There are some places on Mars where the dirt is a little bit reddish. There are places where the dirt is kind of yellow. The overall color of Mars, if you were in a spaceship and you were in orbit around Mars and you just looked out of the window at Mars, the overall color is more yellowish than red. Some of the dirt is red, sort of. Some of the dirt is yellowish, brown. Some of it is green. Some of it is blue. Just like here on Earth. Yeah, we have red and yellow and blue and green dirt here on this planet. Depends on the minerals that are in it. It depends on what's in it as to what color it is. Mars is not a red planet, and I've talked about that before. Now, all of you who have been listening to the show as critics of the show, and we have those, and you've been listening to the show as a critic of the show now for several years, and you have delighted in writing in and telling me how stupid I am when I say things like, there is no possible way that the atmosphere on Mars is as thin as they say it is. And you have delighted in writing in and telling me that. You need to make sure you have your seatbelt on tonight, have your tray in an upright position, have your shoulder strap on, make sure you're ready for crash because it's going to happen to you tonight. Those of you that have delighted in being critics will probably continue to be critics, but NASA is releasing some interesting stuff now from that crater, from that Gale crater. First of all, I guess you did notice they did use parachutes when they landed. And they say that the atmosphere on Mars is less than 1% as thick as the atmosphere on Earth. How do you do that? How do you use a parachute when you don't have even 1% of the atmosphere that you have here on Earth? Yeah, I know the popular media says it's 1%. It's not. The official story is 0.7%. That's the official story. But, you know, you've delighted some of you in laughing and ridiculing and being critics when I say there's no possibility that's true. I've never backed down from saying it, though, have I? Well, as you're going to learn tonight, there's more evidence. There is no possibility that's true. There is no possibility that the atmosphere on Mars is that thin. And more evidence is coming from that crater. So here's the deal. Curiosity rover wandering around there in that crater landed, of course, in a very curious place, as we have pointed out, and I'll point out again tonight why I say it's very curious that they landed there. But there it is, it's wandering around, and it's taking photographs. And it has now, on day 63, scooped up some dirt. Day 63, its 63rd day on Mars, it scooped up some soil and dumped it into one of the onboard laboratories and ran some experiments. It has now scooped up, I think, 5 scoops of dirt, taken 5 bites out of the surface, and dump them into the lab. And now you've been hearing about this. If you're alert, aware, awake, alive, you've been hearing that NASA scientists with this rover mission have said, we've got something really exciting. This is history-making data, history-making information. And we're going to make an announcement in December. Now, why do they do that? Well, here's a little background. NASA is prevented by law from telling you the truth about extraterrestrial life. They cannot just tell you. It has to go through filters. Now, they tell you we're looking for life out there, and they tell you, you can believe it, if we find it, we're going to shout it from the housetop, we're going to be the happiest people in the world if we find life out there, that's what we're looking for. Well, you can believe this, that's a lie. They are prevented by law from telling you until it goes through a bunch of filters and gets approval. Then they may be the happiest people in the universe if they find life out there. That's a possibility. They're not going to be shouting it from the rooftop. And in fact, they're not even going to whisper it from their closet unless they have approval from on high. Now, we have some proof of this. Back in the 1970s, we had the Viking landers. You had an orbiter and a lander. And so the Viking lander landed on Mars. And it had an experiment on board designed by Dr. Gil Levin. And that experiment was designed to check for signs of biology. It did. It found positive signs of biology. They were overjoyed. They announced it. Wow! we found signs of life. Within hours, NASA said, time out, back up. We think that was an error in the experiment. We think there was an error. So we're going to run another experiment to double check. So they ran another experiment, not designed to check for life. And voila, it succeeded in not finding life. It did what it was designed to do. It was not designed to find biology. And it didn't. And so then NASA came to the public and said, well, we checked again, and, we didn't find any signs of biology. So we think, you know, that first experiment, it was exciting, but, you know, it was a mistake. It was an error. This one is correct. What NASA just told you is there's no bread in the auto parts store. Yeah, we knew that. Thanks, NASA. If you want bread, you go to the bakery. You don't go to the auto parts store. Yeah, we know there's no bread in the auto parts store. There's no biology in that experiment because it wasn't designed to find biology. Gil Levin's experiment did, and it did. The scientists affiliated with that experiment announced it. NASA backed up. NASA punted and came back and said no life. NASA has been telling us for a long, long time there cannot possibly be any liquid water on Mars because the atmosphere is too thin. It's so thin that, there's just almost no oxygen, almost no hydrogen, just trace amounts. The atmosphere is so thin that the little bit of oxygen and the little bit of hydrogen in trace amounts that's there can't get together and bond, and therefore you can't have water. Plus, the atmosphere is so thin that when ice on Mars melts, it doesn't become liquid. It goes straight to vapor. Never liquid, because the atmosphere is so thin. Well, I wrote a book about it, and I told you, not just about that, but that's in the book, and I told you that cannot possibly be true. If the atmosphere is so thin it can't even hold liquid water, how does a parachute work? And I got a lot of ha-ha email about that, a lot of chuckles and ridicule and stuff. But you still haven't, those who chuckled and ridiculed, you still haven't answered that question. You can't. Not only that, NASA built an airplane to fly on Mars. Yes, they did. They built an, it's built by Boeing. They built an airplane to fly on Mars. It was actually funded and was supposed to go up back in the 1990s. But you know what? It got canceled because the money for that project had to be moved. They had a budget cut, so they made a decision to move the money for that mission, that project. They moved it over to putting up a communication satellite around Mars. Communicate with whom? But they built an airplane. How are you going to fly an airplane? I'm talking about with wings, not a rocket. How are you going to fly that without air? So NASA, they said that the atmosphere was so thin you couldn't have any water. And then in my book, I showed you the pictures in the book of the leg of the Phoenix lander up near the North Pole, where it's, the air is too thin, the temperature is too cold for there ever to be any liquid water. That's the official story. And you can see right there on the leg of the Phoenix lander, you can see condensation, water drops forming and trickling. Liquid water, liquid water. The Phoenix lander scooped up some dirt, and the scientists, and this is all part of the story here, folks, it's just like with the Viking. The scientists involved with the Phoenix lander, after they scooped up some of the dirt up there near the North Pole of Mars, put it in their little onboard laboratory, it's called TIGA, and exposed it to the experiments. The scientists involved said, that dirt's just like the dirt, and this is a quote, that dirt is just like the dirt in your backyard. You could probably grow asparagus in it. NASA backed up from that within hours and said, well, time out. It has perchlorate in it. And perchlorate would preclude life. Well, some of you remember what happened with that. I jumped on that day, and I ate NASA a whole new backside by showing their charts from their experiments and showing there was no chlorine in it. And for there to be perchlorate, you have to have chlorine. There was no chlorine in that experiment. None. But there was a big spike for oxygen. And a big spike for oxygen means you can have water, and it means you can have life. But that night on the radio, I said, even if there is perchlorate, it occurs naturally, perchlorate occurs naturally in the water and soil in 27 states here in the United States. Does it preclude life here? The next morning, NASA retracted their statements. It's the old thing of the scientists getting excited because they found something and they try to tell you. NASA backs up away from it. And NASA says, oh, well, wait a minute. And they shift things around and tell you a different story that nullifies what the scientists told you. I think they're getting ready to do it again. I'll show you some evidence. We'll be back right after this break. All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show and our Thanksgiving Day live show. So I said that I think NASA is getting ready to do this stuff again. What I've done is I've shown you the script, the Viking script, what they did with the Viking lander and the Gil Levin experiment that did find evidence of biology currently on Mars. And they've been lying about it now for 30 years. In my opinion, they're lying. Because, you see, the deal is, I think they know that experiment was accurate. And they would say, no, we don't think so. And you're not a scientist. No, I'm not. However, NASA, some scientists, a bunch of them, took a look at all that data again and double-checked you and said you were wrong. Gil Levin's experiment did find life on Mars. And so you know that. And you continue to put out that you didn't. And you're still looking. So you're lying, in my opinion. All right. So I've shown you how they used that backup and punt timeout. No, wait, hang on a minute. Yeah, we were pretty excited, but hey, you know, and they smooth it over and give you bilge. All right, they used it with the Viking. They've used it several times, but these are notable times. They used it with the Phoenix Lander. They used it several times with Spirit Rover and probably Opportunity. And now I think they're getting ready to do it again right here with Curiosity. I think they're getting ready to do it again. Because the scientists with Curiosity have announced that they are really excited that they scooped up some dirt, and the data they've got is history-making. That's what they said. Well, now, within 24 hours of that, NASA is downplaying it. They haven't denied it yet, but they're downplaying it. They're getting you ready for a denial. I think that's what's coming. And I think the deal is that Curiosity has duplicated and maybe gone beyond the data and evidence that Gil Levin's science found with the Viking, the Viking lander. I think Curiosity probably has gone beyond that because, you know, we're 30 years down the road now, and the technology is much, much better. But I bet you it has duplicated and gone beyond the Gil Levin science that was on Viking. And I bet you they not only saw signs of biology, I bet they found living organisms. Now, when I say that, people say, you may not, but I get emails where people say, come on, Mars is bathed in radiation. And it's sterile because of that. In fact, you can go online and read those articles. And I've been saying for a long time, that's a lie. Well, now we've got Curiosity sitting up there in Gale Crater. And Curiosity has curiously been taking radiation readings, and the scientists running Curiosity have said officially that the radiation levels on Mars are tolerable for humans. Humans can live in it. So don't start that bilge about Mars is sterile because of radiation. You could live in that radiation. You live in radiation right here on Earth. There's not an appreciably increased amount of radiation on Mars. And guess why? Because it doesn't have a magnetic field like we do. So guess why it doesn't have a whole lot more radiation than Earth? Because, according to the scientists, because of its atmosphere. Bingo. Because of its atmosphere filtering out radiation. Because the atmosphere is thicker than they thought. Bingo. I told you to strap yourself in, put your shoulder strap on, make sure your tray is up and you're in the upright position, because you're about to be a crash test dummy if you've been a critic on these things. That's the deal. So let's take a look at some of the stuff that, what is it that the guys working and gals working with Curiosity Rover, what are they so excited about? Well, I don't know for sure, but it might be, possibly, some ruins that are up on top of those mountains in the middle of the crater. Ruins? Oh, yeah, lots of ruins. We've talked about that. Now, let me show you a still picture. Those who are watching, this is the one that was taken from space by the reconnaissance orbiter, and you really don't see much detail there, but the deal is NASA has put a red filter in this, and when we strip the red filter out, be prepared to be amazed. It really is kind of white sandy in that area. Now, I will have to tell you that I stripped out probably more red than I should. This is probably more of a yellowish instead of whitish background. But I was rushed for time. I didn't have time to do it over. However, I do want you to notice that there is a blue streak in it, and I want you to notice that blue streak. That's some bluish soil, and you'll see some other blues in other places there. That blue streak kind of runs to the right, from left to right, and then when it gets over on the right, it fades into a white streak that, if you follow that back up, that's a riverbed that I told you about. That's the riverbed. But right up, if those who are watching, you can see where the yellow circle is. That's the intended landing area, which, of course, that's where they landed. Now, straight up above that, there's a little crease in the top of the mountain, and it's pretty interesting what's setting up in that crease. There are buildings up there. Now, before those of you who are prone to this start saying, well, you can't be sure. Yes, you can. This is not the only picture of that. I've shown other pictures of it. And JPL themselves released a video showing those structures. And what you're getting to look at if you're watching, I've already shown, we've already discussed. This is not new, unless you decided to miss the show that night. Then, you see, you've been ignorant of this all this time. Those ruins are on top of the mountain. JPL released this. What you're looking at came right off of JPL's website. That's their photograph from their website. So maybe the people working with Curiosity are all excited about that, those buildings up there. Maybe, but I doubt that, because that had nothing to do with their onboard experiment. But the onboard experiment could have shown the presence of life, and you would expect that if you have ruins like that. Those are ruins. So if you have ruins like that, there has been life there. Therefore, you very well could have life there now, right? Well, there's another interesting thing that Curiosity photographed. Now, this is really curious. On the left, I have it. I'll tell you what this looks like. You know, some insects build a sort of a transparent cocoon. Looks like wax paper. And then when they come out of it, you know, they are, at that point, full-grown insect, right? And they leave that little cocoon there. Kind of a little exoskeleton kind of thing. And there are people saying that that's what this is. That's what I've heard one person say. It looks like the shell of, the dried up shell of a shrimp. I've seen articles where people compare this to various insects. So what people are seeing on their screens is a picture of that. It's laying on the ground. Curiosity did shoot the picture. And on the right side, I have the exact same picture with the red stuff stripped out of it. Now, it doesn't turn it into black and white, as you see. There's still color. The ground is grayish, which, by the way, you would expect in a riverbed, wouldn't you? I mean, you'd expect, or at least you wouldn't be surprised, many riverbeds, when they dry out, have that grayish look to them. And this is a riverbed. But NASA says, no. The deal is that came off of the rover itself, and fell off when it landed. Well, the problem here is that this was 63 days after the landing, and this is not right where it landed. There are some other problems with that, because you can see, if you look closely, there's something in that. That's a packet of something. That's something wrapped up. You can see it through. It's transparent, at least translucent, and you can see something in there. What is it that you can see? Now look at that very, very carefully. It looks like, and by the way, the package is opened on the right end. It's torn open on the right end. It looks like a component of some type of electronics. Here it is with the red filter. Notice you have coming out, well, right in the center, you got a thing that looks like a bullet cartridge. And coming out of the bottom on the left side of that bullet cartridge, you have a lead coming out to the left. And then it goes up, makes a U-turn, and comes back down. And it looks like the shape of... It is not a paperclip, but it has that shape to it. But it's attached to that bullet cartridge. Now look at the top on the right. It looks like there's a lead going off of that. That appears to be some type of electronic part. Now you might say, well, then of course it came off of the rover. All right, now ask yourself, you think the rover's got a bunch of electronic parts in little packages like this, so if it needs to repair itself, it can reach into its pocket, pull out one of these little things, rip it open, pull out the part and install it in itself? You think so? We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and we're talking about NASA apparently getting ready, getting set up to pull another Viking switcheroo on the data. It looks to me like that's what they're getting ready to do. Now, I hope they don't do this. I hope that there's been some change of heart and some change of policy. And I hope they don't do this, but they need to know that if they do, they cannot do it and get away with it. I'm already exposing you before you do it, NASA. So if you do it, we're all just going to sit back and watch you do it and know that you're not going to get away with it. All right. So I hope they don't do it, but it looks like they're getting set up for it, because they're beginning to downplay what the scientists have been saying. The scientists have been saying, wow, this is history-making stuff. And then they said they will announce it in December, early December. Well, why couldn't they just go ahead and announce it? Because they're prevented by law. They can't. I know. You thought they were the civilian space program of the United States. Wrong. NASA is Department of Defense. When they told everybody it was the civilian space program, that wasn't true, but we wanted to believe it, so we did. It is Department of Defense. They are prevented by law from telling you the truth without permission. They have to get permission first. So the scientists can't tell us what it is, but the scientists can tell us, wow, it's history-making. So I've been looking at some of the stuff that Curiosity has photographed. It has photographed some ruins up on top of the mountain, from a distance, of course. It has photographed something very strange on the ground. A lot of really strange stuff on the ground. We've talked about it a number of times. This is the first time we've talked about this one. But this is, well, it's been all over the internet. People say that that proves there's life on Mars. Well, maybe, but not because it's leftovers from an insect. That is a translucent package. We can see on the inside of that translucent package there is some type of component that looks like an electric component. And some of you who are electrical engineers or electronics technicians, you may have seen something like this. But as I said, a lot of people then would say, oh, well, then that proves it fell off of the rover, right? No! Do you think the rover has a bunch of little packets of spare parts hanging around somewhere? And if it needs a spare part, it can just, it's got an arm that can pick it up and rip the little package open and take out the component and install it in itself. It's not built to do that. It doesn't do that. It doesn't have little packets of spare parts like this. So there's only two possibilities here that I can see. One possibility is that's a spare part left over from some previous civilization that inhabited this valley down in front of those mountains, or that inhabited the mountains up there. There are buildings, ruins up there, and that's a spare part that was left over, got thrown out. That's one possibility. Another possibility is these pictures are being taken on Earth. And I'm not saying that they are. I'm saying it's a possibility. These pictures that we think are coming down from Gale Crater may possibly be hoaxed, being taken on Earth. And we just accidentally took a picture of and released a picture of an electronic component that is from Earth. Is that possible? Yeah. Except the packaging looks wrong. That doesn't look like the way we package stuff. So I, at this point, am speculating that that is on Mars and that that is left over from a previous civilization. Now, you might be saying, well, now look, the experts have said that that's off of the spacecraft, right? That's right. And look, Kevin, you're not an expert in spacecraft. Is that right? That's right. So the experts are probably right. Wrong. Just because they're experts doesn't mean they're probably right. It could mean they're lying. And I'm going to show you a reason why I say that. Because you see, Curiosity photographs something else. Now, when you look at the picture that is under discussion at this moment, it's two little things sitting down there in that riverbed that one of them is real shiny and the other one's kind of dirty. But they are the same size, same shape, exactly. And they sort of look like a chess piece called a pawn. I'm not saying that they are, pawns. I'm saying they have that general shape. But they look like a piece of technology. And if we take a good close look at the shiny one, we can see why I say it looks like a piece of technology of some kind. I don't know what it is. But it's the same shape as the dirty one. And I have both of them marked. You can see the dirty one kind of has a rock sitting on top of it, and it's covered with some dust and dirt there. But one of them is real shiny, just sitting right out there in the open, and it looks like a piece of technology. Well, folks, the NASA science team, the rover team, this was found before the other thing, and they said that that's not off of the spacecraft, that's native to Mars. Native to Mars? It's something manufactured that's sitting on Mars, and they're saying we didn't put it there. That's a little hint, isn't it? See, they're telling you we have found signs of life on Mars. That's something right there. They don't say it's manufactured, but your own eyes can see it. Your own eyes can see that is manufactured. It's a little piece of technology of some kind. And the NASA scientists said this is native to Mars and not part of the rover. It's not, these are not parts that fell off of the rover. So what are they telling you? There is evidence that Mars at least has been inhabited by intelligent people. They're telling you without coming out and saying it because they're prevented by law from coming out and saying it. But they're telling you, if you listen, if you pay attention, they're telling you, they're showing you this picture and they're saying, that didn't come off of our rover. That was already on Mars. Fill in the blank at the end of the sentence. So, who built it and left it there? Somebody intelligent. Now, the only thing, though, is this. When we get to this thing that looks like a packet that has a little electronic part in it, that would tell us that those people were at least as advanced as us. Maybe more. Now, folks, I want you to listen real carefully to what I'm about to say, and don't make it into something I'm not saying. Mars has been inhabited. The evidence is there. It has been inhabited by intelligent people. The evidence is there. A lot of people have seen that evidence that I've shown night after night after night for 12 years. I've been talking about this and showing you the evidence. And people have seen it. And a lot of people have reached a point where they don't have a problem with that. They've reached the point where they say, yeah. But as advanced as us, they got a problem. Well, hang on. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and for those of you joining us just now in this second hour, welcome aboard. We're glad to have you, and you have my sincere sympathy for whatever kept you away from the first hour. Delighted you're here now. We're talking about NASA making sounds, giving off signals that make it appear that they're getting ready to pull the old Viking lander switcheroo on data. They tried it with the Phoenix lander as well. Didn't work real well. I exposed a lot of that as they did it. I'm exposing what I think is NASA getting ready to try that with the Curiosity rover. The scientists who are handling the Curiosity rover have announced that they have found something that's history-making. They're really excited about it. They can't tell us yet what it is. And they said, we're going to announce, you know, in December. And I've explained to you, why can't they just tell you now? Because they're prevented by law. It's got to go through a bunch of different approval steps before they can tell you. Now, if you doubt that, you go on YouTube. You'll have to do a little work on your own, and you'll have to think on your own. I can't do this for you. But you can find where NASA was doing a press conference. They got asked. It was about the Curiosity, and this is right at the beginning of the Curiosity mission. And they got asked, if you find life, are you going to tell us? Are you going to delay it? Or what are you going to do? And they tell you, in that press conference, well, you know, we have to have these people look at it and those people, and it's got to get this approval and that approval, you know, and we for sure have to do all that before we can tell you. They admit that they can't just tell you. You go find that. I watched it. You can watch it too. But I watched it about, I don't know, 2 or 3 months ago. And so I don't remember exactly where it is, but it's there. And they admit they're not going to tell you without getting all that upper-level approval. All right, so that's what we're dealing with. It looks to me like NASA's getting themselves already set up to do the switch and say, well, you know, it was pretty exciting, but, you know, they were wrong. And I got to tell you something. I want to tell you scientists that are affiliated with the rover who are excited right now, I want you to understand that we understand how NASA does stuff. I want you to know that we know that NASA pulls these switches and lies to us. And so when they do that, you didn't lose any face with us. NASA did, but you didn't. I think they're going to do it to you. I do. I think they're going to do it, and it will make it look like you've been discredited and all that. You haven't been, because we know that it's a pile of Toro caca. We know that. And you have our sympathy, and you got our support, and we wish they would just let you tell the truth right now. But we understand. We all know the game. We've watched them do it now for decades. And we expect them to lie to us. Okay? So that takes some of the heat off of you, you scientists that are working with the rover program. That takes some of the heat off of you right now. We're glad you came out and said there's history-making data here. And we're glad you let us know that, because we know what it is. We know you found life. They found it with Phoenix and rushed into a special emergency meeting with George W. Bush, President George W. Bush's science czar, science advisor. Emergency meetings at the White House over the Phoenix lander data. We know they found life. And we know they found life on the Viking lander. With the Viking lander. We know that. They're not fooling anybody. We know. We know they're lying. They know they're lying. We know that they know that we know they're lying. They're aware of that. But, you know, it's just the game they play. So you scientists that are working with the project, thank you for getting the word out that you're excited. Thank you for getting the word out that it's going to be history-making. Because if NASA, and I hope they don't, I hope NASA comes on with it and says, Eureka, we found it. I hope they do. I don't expect them to. I expect it was a lie. I expect them to do the Viking switch. And I'm just alerting my audience now to that. But those of you who are scientists on that project, don't let it bother you. We know and we appreciate you. Okay? Now, am I sure NASA's going to do that? No. No, I'm not sure they're going to. But I'm sure not going to be surprised if they do. They've been doing it for decades. Okay? Now, I want to go back to that that little thing in the... I said it's like a little cellophane wrapper. You can see through it. And I'm giving it to those who are... The people who are watching our TV channel are seeing the NASA version of it, and then the one where I've stripped away the red filtering. And the reason is I want everybody to be able to see that you can see this thing through that wrapper, even in NASA's picture. It looks like an electronic component of some type. And those of you who are some type of electronics technician or engineer or designer or whatever, take a look at that and see if you recognize that as anything. Now, if so, if you recognize that, then maybe it's from the rover. But then I still want to know, one, what's the rover doing with spare parts on it? Who's going to use them? Two, who ripped this package open on the right end and threw it on the ground? Now, I mean, that's pretty important stuff. Pretty important. So the reason, I think, the reason that NASA put it out that this is something that just fell off of the rover as it was landing, except, see, that's 63 days later. It's not even at the landing site. I think the reason is either it shows highly advanced civilization in the past on Mars, and there's a reason why they don't want that, or it shows that's on Earth. Poof! I mean, doesn't that just eat your cheeseburger? It shows that these pictures are either telling us of highly advanced civilization in the past on Mars, or it shows us that's not Mars. Pretty scary stuff either way. Now, why would they not want you to know that the people on Mars were as advanced as us? Well, you know, that kind of gets into some of the stuff that you've heard way, this goes way back on the fabulous, unbelievably exciting Art Bell Show. You remember the Art Bell Show? Art Bell, the absolute king of this genre. Still, never be replaced. And people back then were talking about how there was this great cataclysm that took place on Mars. Mars was inhabited, and it had oceans and rivers and dry land and mountains and streams and everything just like we've got here. And they had this huge cataclysm, and there's different theories about what caused that. And people had to evacuate from Mars. And some of those people came here, and we are they. We are the Martians. I'm not saying that. I'm saying, remember hearing that? Remember back people talking about that on the Art Bell Show? And over the years and decades, they've continued to talk about it. And I've had people on this show talk about it some of those same people that were on Art's show have been here on my show and have talked about it. That we are the Martians. That we are the descendants of Martians who came here escaping that cataclysm. And some of you may remember Mission to Mars. Remember that? Remember that movie? What's his name? Gary Sinise? Isn't that his name? Remember Mission to Mars? NASA funded most of that production. And what was it a story about? Astronauts who went to Mars. Astronauts who went and rescued some other astronauts who were in a little colony there on Mars, thought to be destroyed, but then they got a signal showing that it was still alive. They get down there and they find the face. They actually are able to go inside the face on Mars, the head on Mars, the face on Mars. And what do they find out? I don't know if it's a holographic thing or whatever, but they find out that the Martians had to evacuate Mars. Some of them went to Earth. And these people, these astronauts, are descendants of those Martians. And they're offered the opportunity to go and live where the rest of the Martians are. Gary Sinise accepts. The others don't. The others return to Earth. And Gary takes off to wherever the other Martians are. Now, you may think, well, you know, that's a sci-fi movie. Yeah, it is. What if it's true? Why did NASA back it? Is it possible that that's why they don't want you to think that electronics part came from anywhere else except the rover? Is it possible that's why they don't want you to think it's from Mars? From a civilization on Mars. They don't want you to know the facts just yet. See, I think that's really possible. I'm not saying I think that's the truth. I think it's really possible because they backed that movie. Why did they back the movie that tells that story? NASA. Why didn't NASA back that movie? They still want you to think of it in terms of it's just a science fiction story right now. But why did they put money up to even have you think about it? And now here's some pretty solid evidence. If that's not on Earth, if that really is on Mars, some pretty solid evidence that whoever was there was at least as advanced as us and could do electronics, high-tech electronics. I mean, at least I'm saying that looks like a electronics part. Maybe you don't think it does. Maybe you think it looks like something else. And just because I said it doesn't mean it's true. I mean, I'm telling you what I think. It is true that that's what I think it looks like. Maybe you think it looks like something else, and that's cool. I'd like to hear your opinion about all of this. Curiosity rover has found lots and lots and lots of stuff that is really anomalous. I've shown you some of it tonight. I have shown other things that are very anomalous shot by this rover on other nights. But as a matter of fact, several other nights. I mean, we've looked at the whole thing with the Curiosity rover and the anomalies in Gale Crater. We've looked at that many, many times because there's so many anomalies. Now, tonight I've shown you this little packet of something that appears to have electronics. I've shown you a little piece of technology that I said, you know, there's two of them, and they sort of look like pawn pieces on a chessboard. Not exactly, but they kind of have that shape. One of them's real shiny. NASA admits that's not off of the rover, so by doing so, are telling you, they say that's native to Mars. They're telling you that's manufactured. You can see that with your eyes. NASA says that's not ours. They're telling you there has been intelligent life here, right here on this spot where this thing's sitting. There has been intelligent life on Mars. They're telling you that. So, I don't know. I'm going to open up the telephone lines and ask you to call, and let's talk about all this stuff. I mean, it's obviously, for sure, the evidence is that NASA has found signs of at least past intelligent life on Mars. I mean, that little pawn piece, that thing that looks like a pawn, that by itself, and NASA's statement about it, that by itself is a statement that there has been intelligent life right here at this spot. They don't come out and say it that way, but nevertheless, that's what it is. It is a statement that there has been intelligent life right there. But what do you think? I mean, look, these scientists working with the Curiosity rover are really, really excited. And they have come out and said that they found something that is history-making. They've come out and said that. NASA has backed away from that a little bit. They haven't denied it yet. They have downplayed it a little bit. And I have said tonight, I think they're getting ready to pull the Viking switch. I think they're going to do the same script they did with Viking. I hope they don't. I really hope they don't, but I think they're going to. And I want you to know in advance before they do it. But what do you think about all this? Now, really, it's time to unload, folks. I mean, really, I know it's a holiday here in the USA. You ate a lot of turkey. You're tired. You're sleepy. And you watched a lot of football and did all that stuff. This is important. And I want to know what you think about all this. Because this is unfolding before your eyes. History is in the making. I'm cluing you in advance to the possibility that NASA may mess around with the data and the facts and may pull off another Viking switch. So I'm cluing you into that in advance. Either way this goes, you're clued in advance before it happens, so, you know, you can watch and see what NASA does with this. I hope they don't do that, but I think they're going to. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Steve from Georgia.
Hi, Steve.
Hey, those are some interesting photographs. You know, I was looking at that blue item, that blue piece of whatever it is, that certainly could be electronic. It looks sort of like filaments in there. On the other hand, it could also be some kind of a cocoon with maybe the skeletal remains of some kind of insectoid creature inside. That was, you know, being more oriented toward the land and animals and so on than I am to electricity. You know, that's the direction my mind went. And that pawn looking thing that you showed in the other picture looks an awful lot like it's made of porcelain. You know, at least its visual texture. You know, it's not rough like the stones and things around it. It looks very smooth and it's pure white, and that makes me think of porcelain. And I know porcelain is used as an insulator in electronics. So if that's what that is, then that certainly is a sign of that. You know, and something else I'd like to point out about all the little pebbles, the little rocks that are in all these pictures that you've shown us, sure are smooth. They're very smooth, and we know that rocks are made smooth by being tumbled along by running water.
Uh-huh.
You know, the pebbles that you see in creeks and creek beds are always smooth like that because they've had running water pushing and tumbling them along. So that's definitely a telltale sign of at least there has been running water there. You know, whether it's seasonal, you know, maybe it's a dry gulch this time of year, and at other times there might be water. And I'm here to tell you that other picture that you showed of that blue streak at the bottom of the hill,
uh-huh.
That's definitely water. That looks like a small lake or something under there. And
well, you know, it could be, but it could also be the soil stained blue by some mineral deposit.
That's true too. Yeah, it could be that.
I will tell you this though, and I have not mentioned this before. If you see, are you looking at your screen right now?
I am.
Okay, you see the yellow circle that NASA, this is NASA's picture. I didn't put the yellow circle there. NASA did that.
Okay.
You see that? Now, look at the 11 o'clock position on that circle. Just go straight 11 o'clock
right.
up, and you see it that you run into the cliff side up there, and it's very, very dark. But
yeah.
You can see there is a very decidedly circular dark spot up there. You see that?
I do.
That's a cave entrance.
Is that a cave opening?
I think it is. I'm going to zoom in on that. And if you'll give me just a moment here, I will zoom in on that. It's, I think, a cave entrance, and it has a ramp front porch.
I see that ramp, too.
Okay, so here we go. I'm going to zoom in, and everybody can see that themselves.
It looks an awful lot like a hangar, doesn't it?
It does.
It looks like a hangar where we would park aircraft.
Mm-hmm.
That looks like a hangar.
But you know, there's a lot of really strange stuff in this. In this photograph.
You know, I haven't been all over Utah. I've been to Utah a few times, and I remember it's been a week or so ago when you had Jose Escamilla on, and he was talking about the possibility of these shots actually being taken in Utah somewhere.
Well, Jose actually said...
You know, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, he said for sure. I mean, he made a definite statement that all this is being done in Utah.
I tell you what, that would be reaching new lows of scumbaggery. You know,
yeah,
I mean,
would.
We've had some stuff foisted on us in the past. You know, we've been.
Hey, hang on. We have a break taking over. All right, folks, we'll be back right after this.
Kevin Smith Show.
All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Steve, we had to cut you off because a break was taking over. And you just said that reaches new depths of scumbaggery if that's actually on Earth. And actually, yeah, that's true. It does. But I think that NASA's getting ready to pull a Viking script here. I think they're going to do it. What do you think?
Well, Kevin, just applying mathematical statistics to this thing, you know, if that snake with the rattles on the end of it has bit you before and it bit you again, chances are when you reach in that box, it's going to bite you again.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's just tracking history and paying attention. You know, it's like plotting the coordinates on a graph. You know the direction this parabola is going because of the direction it's already gone. You know, the trajectory of their stories has always been this kind of thing, so there's certainly no reason to think that it would be any different now. You know, but you know what? During the break, Kevin, I had another thought about that blue streak down there.
Uh-huh.
I know that cyanobacter is blue.
Uh-huh.
Where you have a high concentration of cyanobacter somewhere, it's going to be blue. And cyanobacter, of course, is an anaerobic bacterial form that when it exhales, you know, at the end of its metabolic cycle, it gets rid of the oxygen that it produces. It
mm-hmm.
produces oxygen. The oxygen is highly toxic to it. So it jettisons the oxygen as soon as it can. Cyanobacter is a producer of oxygen. You know, paradoxically, that stuff is toxic to it, and that's why it tries to get rid of it. But if you had a planet that had no oxygen on it, and you wanted to make an oxygen-rich atmosphere, you would put cyanobacter there. So if that cyanobacter, that's a high concentration of cyanobacter in that soil, it's emitting oxygen.
And yeah, but the problem with that would be that when you burn. Every single time NASA has burned soil from Mars, on their spectrograph, oxygen jumps off the graph. The thing, Mars is loaded with oxygen.
And I definitely believe that.
Yeah. And so it would be tough for cyanobacter to live on the Martian soil like that.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, good point.
So I don't know what that blue is, but if you look carefully at this picture, some of those really dark spots, there's blue in them too.
Correct. Yeah, I see that.
So I don't know what it is, but it's at the end. Now I zoomed in real close a moment ago, and then when I zoomed back out, the problem is I didn't zoom out far enough. That blue is at the sort of the end of the riverbed there. Let's zoom out further. You can see if you start where the blue is and move to the right.
I see. It's a ring, almost like there was a moat there at one time.
Take a look over there at where the blue runs into the riverbed, on moving to the right, and
right.
Then the riverbed. Notice how it keeps moving to the right, and then it spreads out.
Yes.
Look at that. That's exactly the shape that I marked that night on the screen, and said that looks like a shallow wash. And look from left to right. It looks like there is. Formerly a road going from left to right, right across the middle of that.
Absolutely.
Just like
Absolutely.
I marked.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's headed right into the mountain.
Mm-hmm. So, anyway, interesting stuff. I think NASA's getting ready to pull the Viking switch. They're going to do the Viking two-step here. And we're not going to hear that they found life, but that's what those scientists are trying to announce to us, I bet you. That's the word they're trying to get out to us.
Right. Those scientists have got to feel so cheated by this.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't imagine. I just can't imagine pouring my life's work. You know, these people have gone through so much schooling and so much training. You know, they're at the top of their field, and they're doing what they do. They're doing what they have a passion for. And their spokespeople are just making it sound like nothing at all.
Mm-hmm.
That completely negates their efforts. And, you know, I just can't imagine. You know, it would seem to me that their pride would get the best of them, and somebody's liable to step off the reservation and make some kind of independent statement, either maybe camouflage the source, you know, he'll tell somebody. Somebody's got to spill the beans sooner or later about this stuff, Kevin.
I don't think so.
I think it's going to happen.
I don't think it's ever going to happen, because if they do, exactly what was done to Bob Lazar will be done to them. And I don't think, they got that message. They got that message. What was done to Bob Lazar will be done to them. Yeah, they will be ruined forever.
That's true.
Yeah.
What a shame.
So, but that's okay. I want the people at NASA to know, we understand. We know what you're up against. Nobody's fooling us. We got it. We understand.
Right.
And we appreciate these people for trying to get the word out to us.
Right. Message received.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Steve. Thanks much. I'm going to move along.
All right.
All right. Have a good evening. What about you? 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. That's the telephone number, and the lines are open. If you are not in the USA and you're not in Canada, you can either call us or you can, send me a flash message. And sending me a flash message is easy. You just go over to the website, kevinsmithshow.com. Scroll down, you'll see where it says flash message. It's right above the picture about tonight's show, and you can use that to communicate with me. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Lasha from Vancouver.
Hi, Lasha.
Do you know the picture you've got up there?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's a crater. Craters don't have mountains in the middle.
You're right. But
by electricity.
You are right. That is technically true. But a whole bunch of these so-called craters that we see on the moon and on Mars do have stuff right in the middle of them. For instance, Tycho Crater.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think that when you have a large body, like an asteroid or a small planetoid that comes very close to another planet, there's a huge electrical charge that'll go across the planet. And I think that's what you're looking at. If you've ever seen electricity go into a very dense substance, it'll make that kind of a shape with a circular thing in the very middle. I think that's what it is. When you say there's that cave there, I think that's a natural occurrence. Like if you zoom in on it, around the edge of the outside of that cave, it looks naturally formed in the sense of that might be where the electricity exited.
Oh, it could be. You could be exactly right. If it occurred that way, it certainly left conditions conducive for someone to live there.
Oh, without question.
Yeah, and there are buildings there. There are ruins of buildings there.
Do you know what my theory is, Kevin?
What?
I think there were people there for many, many millions of years, and I think that they knew that there was a body, a celestial body coming in that would do this electrically to their planet. And I think that's what happened. I think some of them went underground, and I think some of them also evolved into another dimension.
Do you think any of them escaped to Earth?
I don't think so.
If
they did, it wouldn't have been in a physical sense. It would have been more of how do I explain this? It would be more of a sense of they would leave their bodies in the sense of almost die and then be born over here. It's not a sense.
What do you think about NASA funding that movie, Mission to Mars?
Do you know, I saw that and I thought that whole thing was a psyop.
I did too.
Yeah.
To some degree. I thought, they're softening us up, getting us ready for something.
Do you know, I've noticed that what you said about the, they come out and saying they've got this big announcement and then suddenly it's not. They've done this two-step three or four times. And you know what it makes? It makes you do? It makes you think, there's really nothing there. There's all this hubbub about nothing.
Yeah.
I think that's what it's supposed to do.
Well,
it's a psychological kind of trick.
Yeah, yeah. But they can't do it effectively if the lights are on, and that's what I'm trying to do is make sure the lights are on and everybody knows this is coming. Watch them do this. You know?
It's what you got to do. Mm-hmm. It's what you got to do, because at a certain point, people are going to start believing their own eyes. I mean, they have to.
Yeah.
What else have you got, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You see what you see. Do you know those other pictures, Kevin, that you showed of that, you know, the stuff that was like looked like porcelain?
Yeah, the one that I said kind of is sort of shaped like a pawn.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you know what that looks like to me?
What?
Those don't look like rocks. They look like eggs, and one has cracked open.
Uh-huh.
Like, it looks like something's oozed out of the end of it.
Maybe. So that, know, that might be a live little Martian there, huh?
Well, I think it's some sort of life that you would find under a very shallow body of water, which I think used to exist on Mars.
Well, you know, it could be. But when I back off from it, you can see there's one that's not shiny. And right. See, I have two little arrows there. One of them is shiny, and the other one is kind of covered up with the dirt. But you can still see the shape.
But, you know, look at all those things around. Do they really look like rocks?
Honestly, to me, they do.
To me, they kind of look like petrified egg bed. You know, like a...
Uh-huh.
Like, I don't know. It just, you know, all those round rocks sitting in dirt.
Well, let me... I've put up a picture. It doesn't show that same thing. It's in the same area. Mm-hmm. And what I've done is strip out NASA's red filter that they put in.
Right.
And we can see these rocks without that red on them.
Yeah.
And to me, they do look like rocks.
The red certainly makes everything look dusty and dead, doesn't it?
It does. It does.
But, you know, take a look at the, you know, here I'm looking for patterns again.
Uh-huh.
Take a look at the rocks in the picture that you've taken the red out of.
Uh-huh.
If you follow them, they go around. Like, if you can follow a path of where the rocks are.
Mm-hmm.
Almost as if, you know, I mean, I'm just conjecturing here, but if something were walking and laying eggs.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like a nest. Sort of like a nest, because they're almost in a circle around that thing.
Well, yeah, you can almost track where the rocks. And, you know, I don't think in water it would kind of do that.
Mm-hmm.
Or I could be wrong. It could be a very heavy water.
Yeah, I don't know. I do know that all of these pictures are very anomalous, very weird.
Oh, yeah. I think there's a whole lot more going on Mars than meets the eye.
Yeah.
And I think they've been keeping a great deal of it from us.
Well, can you hang on just for this break?
Sure.
All right, hang on. We'll be back right after this break. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. This is the Kevin Smith, and we are on Final Approach here. On the telephone with me is Lasha. And Lasha, you were talking about how, you know, you think that this is sort of a bed of eggs, right?
It has that organic look to it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just seemed to me that if there was that many rocks, all very similar, same size, sitting in a bunch of loose dirt. I don't know, it just, the first, as and when I first saw it, my first flash was egg bed.
Well, that would fit with what the scientists said, so would what I said, but they said this is something that is, quote, native to Mars.
Yeah, and it looks to me as if something is, like, cracked open and is oozing out and has maybe frozen or I don't know what.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. It just looks like it had been a liquidy kind of thing. There seems to be a little hole in the end there, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't look electronic to me. It looks organic.
Mm. I see what you're saying. Now, to me, it still looks electronic. But I see exactly what you're saying. I could see it. I could visualize it that way as well.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And by the way, Kevin, when we were on the break, I made up a joke.
Uh-oh.
How many debunkers does it take to change a light bulb?
I don't know.
None. They'd rather stay in the dark.
Ah, there you go. There you go. They didn't like that can I opened up on them the other night.
No, I guess, why would they? But it's very interesting, this Mars stuff. You know, I didn't know that you wrote a book about this.
Yeah, it's called Mars Maximum Mystery.
I must get it. I must and shall have it.
Yeah, that was, I don't know, 3 years ago. At least. Yeah. And I wrote one about Venus, too. It's called Watch the Other Hand.
Well, I've got to get them. But as an astrologer who knows the planets, I've got to get them.
Yeah. Well, they were released as e-books, and they're written specifically. You know, most e-books were really written to be published as ink and paper books and then wound up as e-books.
Right.
These were written specifically as e-books, and they were written that way using internet psychology as their structure, meaning on the internet you expect for things to happen quick, right? Bam, bam, bam,
right.
Bam, bam. So what you want is lots of information real fast.
Right.
And so that's the way they're written. They're written just like that, and lots of information real fast. And instead of footnotes, where a regular ink and paper book would have a footnote, I have a link. So you can just click it and go see it yourself.
Very interesting. That's a really interesting way to look at the new internet as the new publishing source.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was an experiment for me. You know, I've also published ink and paper. But these two books I just did as a totally from start to finish e-book style. And, you know, just to see how would that go. And people liked it, so.
Well, if you know of any good publishers, send them my way. I'd love to publish a book.
If I know any publisher, you've written a book?
Well, no, a lot of people have been asking me about I write this blog on my website called Field Notes about some of the experiences I've been through, and I don't have the bandwidth to keep the old issues up there all the time.
Yeah.
And people keep asking for them all bundled at once, and there's a lot of them, and it's sort of, it would make very fascinating reading. So I was kind of thinking maybe I should try and put it in a book.
Well, you get in touch with me via email, and I'll tell you exactly how to do that yourself.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll tell you how to do that and where to get the software. Free.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, free's a good thing.
You're the guy.
Well, I've just been around a long time, you know. Got blisters on my feet and no hair. So. All right, Lasha, thanks for the call.
You're very welcome, Kevin.
All right. Bye-bye.
Good night.
All right. We have time for one or two more calls. Look, I think these scientists are trying to get the word to us. They found life. The guys with the Phoenix lander tried to get the word to us. Gil Levin back in the 70s tried to get the word to us. NASA's run interference every single time. I think they're about to do it again. Maybe not. I hope I'm misjudging NASA. I hope I'm misguessing here, but I see signals that NASA is about to do the Viking two-step again. And I think the scientists are trying to get the word to us. They found life on Mars. I know they did. You know they did. We looked at the evidence. We know it. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin, this is Levi from Portsmouth, Virginia.
Hi, Levi. You'll have to hurry, but we're glad you called.
Yeah. You know, in Popular Science magazine, I think it was last year, they had an article about a one-way mission to Mars.
Yeah.
And in that article, they stated that one of the astronauts would have to be a CIA agent. So that lets you know that everything that they see has got to be approved by way of the CIA or some intelligence community before they can release it.
Absolutely. It's just like the old days of the Soviet Union where there was a KGB agent on everything, every ship, every submarine. When the Bolshoi Ballet went and played and did their thing in Paris, a KGB agent with them. We are everything we used to accuse them of. It's absolutely true.
And also, I read an e-book by a fellow named Kevin Smith that you probably know him.
I do. Close friends.
Was God's in the Garden. And in that book, it stated that the serpent could talk.
That's right.
So if the serpent could talk, that means there are some other intelligent beings around besides us.
If the Genesis story is true, and some people think it is, some people think it's not, but my approach with God's in the Garden was, if you think that the Genesis story is true, then you've got upright, walking, talking reptiles.
That's
intelligent
right.
Reptiles. And how we know that is his punishment was he lost the use of his legs.
That's right.
Yeah.
And also, you know, he did communicate with Adam and Eve. So that means there was some intelligent beings besides us.
And still are, if Genesis is true.
And if they haven't gone extinct.
Well, they haven't. If Genesis is true.
Mars.
Yeah, if Genesis is true, they're still around. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, Kevin, I'll let you go.
All right. Thanks for the call.
I'll hear from you next time.
All right. Thank you for the call. Very interesting. Yeah, if Genesis is true, then reptilians are true. Intelligent reptilians. If Genesis isn't true, then it's all fiction. Well, I think they discovered life on Mars. I think they're trying to get the word to you that they have discovered life on Mars. Newsflash, that same thing happened 30-some-odd years ago with Gil Levin and the Viking lander on Mars. So does NASA know there's life on Mars? I think absolutely they do. Abso-freaking-lutely. And I think they're getting ready for the Viking two-step again. Scientists that are working on that at NASA, you're working on the Curiosity rover program. Understand, we know. We've watched all of this. We know if they do that, we've seen them do it before. We're with you. And thank you for trying to get the word to us. We're with you. And we know what NASA does. And the purpose of this is to make sure they have to do it right out in the sunlight. Okay? All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for this evening. Happy Thanksgiving. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do, too. You can call me whatever you'd like to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.